From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I am Rob Parker, your host. What a show we have for you today. One of the all-time great pitchers in baseball, Doc Gooden, that's right. He joins us on the podcast. Also, ESPN national correspondent Pedro Gomez, he will as well appear. Let's go.
Batter up!
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
According to sources, Major League Baseball could come up with an idea of having a bubble-type format for the postseason. It wouldn't be like the NBA at a single site. Maybe more like the NHL where they have multiple sites. Something like that where they could try to keep the players safe. For the most part, most of baseball is functioning. You know, you do have the outbreaks with the Marlins and the Cardinals, but to make sure to ensure that we have a postseason without interruption, a bubble type idea for the playoffs sounds like a good idea.
Number two.
We're not sure how serious this could be, but on Tuesday night, Aaron Judge was pinch hit, and then Wednesday, he wasn't going to be in the lineup because of what they called, quote, lower body tightness. And that would be with the calves and the hamstring. Aaron Judge has to stay healthy for the Yankees. That's what everybody was hoping, that this season he could stay on the field. He's off to an unbelievable start, leading Major League Baseball in home runs with 9, tied for the Major League lead in RBIs with 20. And if this was a full season, and considering how many games the Yankees would have played, Aaron Judge would be on a pace, are you ready, for 101 home runs and 283 RBIs. Wow. The Yankees just hope that he can be healthy again and bring that bat with him.
Number three.
Maybe it's just karma. What else could it be? The Houston Astros have an unbelievable roster, but somehow, some way, 3 of their big-time hitters are struggling. Going into Wednesday's action, Jose Altuve batting 183. George Springer batting 182. Alex Bregman batting 224. This is the same team that's gone to the World Series 2 years in a row, and instead, they are struggling. Even their bullpen has been putrid so far with 7 blown saves. Get this. Last year, the Astros blew just 20 games all year en route to their third straight AL West title. And now they're on pace for 25 blown saves and a shortened season. So maybe it's karma. Maybe it's just a bad start. Maybe it's just bad luck. But the Astros right now, they stink.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast one of my favorites, Dwight Gooden, better known as Doc Gooden, Dr. K, who, of course, was a Rookie of the Year in 1984, took baseball by storm, was an unbelievable pitcher, and he joins us on the podcast. What's up, Doc?
Everything's good. How you doing, my man?
Doing great. Let's talk some baseball. Jump right into it. Playing during the pandemic, this has been something. Baseball has done a pretty good job. A couple of teams have had outbreaks, but for the most part, everybody else has kind of stayed safe and have had a lot of negative tests. Doc, what do you make of playing during the pandemic? And if you were still playing, would you have played or would you have opted out?
That's a great question. Yeah, I think baseball is doing a great job considering, and I know like the Marlins, a lot of guys tested positive at one time. You know, it's tough when, you know, guys was already shut down in the house when this stuff first started, and then they started traveling with a team. So it's kind of expected some guys are going to, you know, test positive. But I think baseball is doing the best job they possibly can. Me personally, I guess speaking from a fan of baseball, because I am a fan, I'm glad baseball is back. But I think if it was during my era or if I was playing, I don't think, me personally, I would play only because of being a pitcher, it's nothing when spring training stops. It's nothing you can really duplicate a baseball game. I think that's why we've seen a lot of injuries to these pitchers, not only shoulders, but just with his hamstrings, or Achilles, or what have you, because of that. And then when it came back, I guess they only trained, or the summer camp was only for about 3 weeks. And then you jump into it. And plus, without fans, that's got to be, from a mental standpoint, I know being a professional athlete, you're taught to adapt, but that's got to be very tough and very strange to really get motivated and totally locked into the game. So, me personally, I probably wouldn't have played. But I'm glad baseball is here, and they're playing just from a fan standpoint.
Doc, in 1985, I remember I watched probably every start you had that season. And for people who don't know, you need to go look at the 1985 stats and any highlights. He had 24 wins, 268 strikeouts, ERA of 1.53, the second lowest in the live ball era to Bob Gibson. And that year was incredible. And I bring it up to talk about the Mets' current guy in Jacob DeGrom, Doc, who has dominated and been unbelievable. What makes him so tough? And do you enjoy watching DeGrom pitch?
Oh, definitely. DeGrom's totally locked in. I love watching him pitch. I might be a little biased because I was a Met, as you mentioned, and I love pitchers. I'm still a fan of the 2-1 ball game. But what makes DeGrom special is it's a lot of pressure on him because of the success he's had. But it actually seems like he's getting better every year, if that's possible. He accepts the challenge, and, you know, obviously they don't score a lot of runs for him, and he's aware of that. And plus, being aware that the opposing pitch is going to be up for him, and the hitters, they know who they're facing, so they're going to concentrate more in batting practice and the night before to get up for him, and he still goes out day in and day out to dominate. And there's a lot of pressure on him because he has to win or he has to keep the team in the game every start he takes because of the injuries they have to the staff, not only this year but last year as well. And he's such a challenge. And when he pitches, I mean, the team around him, I guess they're getting upbeat, but unfortunately not scoring runs. I've never seen anything like that. But he still goes out every game and fully dominates. You don't let anything bother him. He keeps the same face all the time, which is hard to find this day and this generation where guys, if they make errors behind him or a play they think should be made, he don't show it on his face. If they don't score runs for him and take on the game, he don't show it on his face. He keeps the same demeanor on the mound, which is very tough to do, but he does that. And it seems like every start, if he gives up two runs, then you think something's wrong. But this guy's legit, and it seems like he's still getting better every year. His last start was a sign of a good pitcher. He didn't have his best stuff, but he got through 5 minutes, and he only gave him two runs. And that shows you that he's something special.
Our guest is Dwight Gooden, of course, former Mets pitcher, Yankees, also pitched for the Indians, the Astros, the Devil Rays. And Dwight won 3 World Series during his career. And speaking of the Yankees, you pitched a no-hitter for the Yankees, and you won a World Series with the Yankees. There's one guy swinging the bat right now, Aaron Judge, for the Yankees, leads the major leagues currently, Doc, with 9 home runs, has just been unbelievable, 20 RBIs. How do you pitch a guy like Aaron Judge, who's so big, that strike zone? He seems to be able to take the ball the other way. He had a problem striking out early on in his career, but he seems to be focused this year.
It's definitely a total package. These guys, they can keep him on the field for a whole season. It's amazing the numbers he can actually put up. I mean, he's a first-time hitter. Myself, in my prime, which I don't see pitchers doing a lot now, and hopefully, I'm a Mets fan, but I'm a New York fan. I root for the Yankees as well. I'm not getting away with the secrets here, but me personally, I would have to move his feet. And what I mean by that, pitching him inside, try to make him uncomfortable, and you throw breaking balls, you know, off the plate and try to get him to chase the high fastball. Most of these guys throw in the upper 90s, but guys are not pitching him inside. And what I mean by pitching him inside is inside to move his feet, not necessarily to hit him, anything like that, but you got to make these guys uncomfortable, because especially a guy like that, he's a big guy, and as you mentioned, he has power to all sides of the ballpark, and he's a big, strong guy, but you have to make a guy like that uncomfortable by pounding him inside, you know, moving him off the plate so he's uncomfortable. If he's comfortable, I mean, he could do damage, as we see. I mean, he's a great hitter, and it seems like he's learning the strike zone more and more every year. And so a guy like that, me personally, if I was facing him, I would just keep him uncomfortable by pounding him inside, making him move his feet as much as I possibly can.
Speaking of some great hitters in baseball, there's a couple of big-time names struggling. Jose Altuve with the Astros. Also, Christian Yelich with Milwaukee. I mean, Christian Yelich adds two straight batting titles and, of course, was an MVP 2 years ago, Doc. Last year, was second in the MVP voting. And this year, he's batting 164. When you see something like that, is that like maybe just a slow start? People get off to slow starts, or could there be more to that? That guy was coming off an injury.
I think a little bit of both. I think coming off an injury, a slow start, and then I'm sure the spring training, the original spring training, had he probably didn't do much if I was kicking slow, not knowing the pandemic thing was going to happen, and then you had the setback, and then now he's coming back, and so now, unfortunately, with a short season, all the numbers are going to show. It's going to stick out more than anything, whether they're great numbers or like you said, these guys are struggling. Probably because he don't know what's coming. He don't know the signs anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a good joke, though. No, I like that.
These guys are great hitters, man. And these type of guys, I wouldn't worry about these guys because their track record speaks for itself. I think they'll be okay. But with a short season like this, everything is magnitude and it shows.
Last thing, you did make that Astros joke. The Astros actually are going to make out this year because there are no fans in the ballpark. Had there been fans, would they have been booed all over the country, you think?
Oh, no doubt. They definitely are one of the teams that benefited from this year because of that. And, you know, they definitely got booed all over the country, no doubt. It started in spring training and deservedly so when all this stuff is going on. And I'm sure, even though baseball has changed so much now, I don't agree with hitting guys, you know, intentionally in the head or anything like that, unless you're retaliating. But I'm sure there have been a lot of situations where these guys were getting knocked down, as you saw with Kelly from the Dodgers that did it. And I don't think it was fair for the suspicion he got because he actually didn't hit anybody. But, you know, I'm sure they get what they deserve, but they're a good team, and I expect them to be right back in it.
No doubt. Dwight, you sound good. Everything good. What's new in your life?
Yeah, everything's great, man. I'm finna head down to Maryland. I got a young son, 15. Unfortunately, he don't like baseball. He plays football and basketball.
Does he know who his dad is? Does he know who his dad is?
Perfect size. He's 6'5", 190, size 13 shoe. Perfect size body for a pitcher, but he told me baseball was boring. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me. But he's doing well academically. That's the most important thing. Myself, I'm healthy. I'm feeling good. I'm actually going to see Chef. Jeff is coaching the AAU baseball team with his kids and his grandson. I'm going out there and help his pitchers a little bit.
All right. I appreciate it. His name is Dwight Gooden, one of the best pitchers in baseball. No doubt about it. Hey, Doc, thanks for joining me, man, on the podcast.
Oh,
stay safe, stay well, and I hope to see you in New York soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, buddy. Keep up the good work, and always great talking to you.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Well, hitting 400 is like seeing Bigfoot. You've heard people talk about it. Any evidence you've seen is in black and white, and your grandpa's convinced any new sightings are bogus. So in this sprint of a 60-game season, there's a chance we could see some records fall, at least from the rate stats category. Today, let's focus on that chase for 400. Everyone remembers the last guy to hit 400 in a season. That was Ted Williams, who hit 406 back in 1941. The closest anybody has come since then also happened in a truncated season. Tony Gwynn's 394 mark when the season shut down due to the strike in 1994. Now, is there somebody who could do it this year? We've already passed the quarter pole in the season, and the Rockies' Charlie Blackmon has been a man on fire. His 484 average is the best by any player through 16 games since Barry Bonds in 2004. He's already won a batting title back in 2017, and based on where he plays, where a Rockies player has won the batting title 11 times in their 27 years of existence, it'd be an upset if someone who hit 400 who didn't don the purple pinstripes. Now, offense at Coors Field isn't absurd because of the long ball. It's because it's a haven for bloops and shots to the gap in the spacious outfield. Blackmon is a career 352 hitter at Coors Field, by the way, for this very reason. Now, there have been 33 players hit 400 in a team's first 60 games in the modern era, but none since Chipper Jones hit 409 in 2008. Could this year be Blackman's year? Never count out Chuck Nasty.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
I don't
or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
MLB has a new generation of sons of former major leaguers who are 25 and younger and destined to become future MLB stars. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Vlad Guerrero Jr. were the most heralded rookies in 2019. JR, is it foul or fair to say that Tatis Jr. has not yet pulled away from the pack?
That's foul.
That is a foul ball.
Have you seen this kid? Before last night's two-hit game, he had six homers overall in the last six games. After a super solid rookie season that was cut short due to a stress reaction in his back, he's come into this COVID season and played like a top three MLB player. He's up there with Aaron Judge for most MLB bombs with eight, and he's up there in most offensive categories. He's brought excitement and ridiculous defense to an MLB team that didn't have a pulse before the energy that he brought to the scene in the Padres. In the same way that Mike Trout quickly separated himself from Bryce Harper when they were young phenoms, Tatis Jr. is grasping the MLB game much quicker than Vlad Guerrero or Kevon Biggio, Bo Bichette of the Blue Jays, or Raul Mondesi Jr. All of the aforementioned names are highly touted sons of former Major League players. While they all possess incredible potential, it's obvious there are weaknesses in their game that they still need to refine, whether it be too many strikeouts or not enough power. Tatis Jr., however, is what you call a franchise player. He elevates the rest of his team with his play. He brings an infectious and youthful vibrance to the team, and he seems to be inspiring some veterans who may have become complacent, like Manny Machado, with losing. In fact, he has the Padres, which are perennial doormats, competing with the Dodgers in the NL West. So all of the second-generation MLB players mentioned have superstar potential, no doubt. But the kid who celebrated his 100th career Major League game Sunday by knocking his 30th career home run, he's flexing and separating from the pack of young gun sons. In a 60-game season, getting off to a fast start is what it's all about, and it makes Fernando Tatis Jr. an early NL MVP favorite.
Take out the papers in the trash!
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is Marlon Walker. That's right, M.79. And he sent me this. Throw the whole damn Cardinals roster away.
Don't know that.
Yes, Marlon is frustrated because, of course, the Cardinals have only played five games. They're 2-3 because of the pandemic, because of the outbreak in their clubhouse. Yes, so Marlon is the winner. He wins a new era snapback for his trash. If you want to be a winner like Marlon, just hit me up on my Twitter at Rob Parker FS1, and you too can be a winner.
Don't go back.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast a close friend of mine, a CWPF. That's right, close, warm, personal friend, Pedro Gomez, a national correspondent for ESPN. Welcome to the podcast. What's up, buddy?
Rob, my man, it is so, so great to catch up again. You know, the great thing about our friendship, we could go a while without talking, and when we do, no time has elapsed.
No doubt about it. We go way back
and
almost 20 years.
That's it true is. Friendship.
No doubt. And we both have a love for baseball. We really do. And tell
well, that's me, where we met. That's where we met. You were Reds and then Tigers, and I was A's beat writer, and we were both beat writers.
Yep, back in the days in the 90s. And this 2020 season, Pedro, is totally different. Tell me what jumps out at you so far, a couple of weeks, almost 3 weeks into this.
I mean, I think the biggest thing that jumps out is the fact that the St. Louis Cardinals have only played five games. That is just crazy to think that a club has not played in over 2 weeks and has just been sitting at home waiting for negative test results. I mean, we knew that there was going to be some craziness, but I don't know that we quite knew it was going to be so just singular. Pull out here, pull out there. An entire club not playing for this long. Certainly the hijinks by the two Indians pitchers is not good. But hey, man, baseball's back. But it's so weird to watch with nobody in the stands, no atmosphere. I mean, I've talked to players, and that's certainly something that they've told me is it takes a lot of getting used to the lack of atmosphere inside the stadium.
No doubt about it. There have been some big stars who are struggling, and one guy is Jose Altuve from the Astros. And Pedro, is it fair when you think about what they went through with the cheating scandal and you remember Altuve holding onto his jersey, looking like there was something underneath and people saying, sure, they could hit. They knew what was coming with the banging of the trash cans. Is his slow start, does that any kind of indictment or he's just having a off year or a slow start? What do you read into that?
Well, I mean, look, the fact is that let's say it purely is coincidental. Let's say he is just off to a slow start, which certainly we know players have done that. That's not unusual. But because of the circumstances, it certainly invites all sorts of talk along those lines. And, you know, people could say it's not fair, but the reality is that the Astros put themselves in that position. Look, you and I both know Oral Hershiser, and Oral is one of the sweetest, kindest men I've ever met in the game, a true gentleman. He is the color guy for Dodgers broadcasts, and I was watching, and Altuve strikes out, and as they're going to break, Hershiser, who really rarely, if ever, says anything derogatory about anybody, simply said, well, it's a lot harder when you're guessing than when you know.
Wow.
That's all he said.
And you know what? The numbers say it. I think it was 18. He's batting 183, and he is really, really struggling. So we'll watch the Astros and Altuve and those guys. Let's turn to the Cleveland Indians, who might have a name change at some point or next year or whatever. Help me with this. No Corey Kluber, no Trevor Bauer. And yet their starting rotation is 2.24, and the Indians just keep, you know, just keep going.
They do, but now it's going to be interesting to see what happens if Zach Plesac and Mike Clevenger are removed from that rotation for a little bit of time here because they did break protocol and went out on the town in Chicago on Saturday night, potentially exposing teammate Carlos Carrasco, who underwent a leukemia procedure a year ago, to the COVID disease. And that's reprehensible to think that you know, anybody would put a teammate's life at risk like this. And knowing what the protocols are, to still flaunt the rules and say, nah, it's Chicago, we're going out on the town. I know they've both come out with contrite statements saying how wrong they were, but they knew they were wrong when they were doing it. And that's so, look, Cleveland's pitching phenomenally, but those two guys are a big part of what they've been doing. And it certainly looks, Rob, like they're going to be punished, if not by Major League Baseball, by the Indians themselves, who've already put both of those pitchers on the restricted list, meaning they are not active members of the roster at the moment.
No doubt, and they should have. Our guest is Pedro Gomez, national correspondent with ESPN. So let's talk about the White Sox and their star shortstop, Tim Anderson. He's batting .324 this year so far, and he won the batting title, of course, last year in the AL with a .335 batting average. This guy's a star. I mean, you can't look at last year as some fluke or something. This guy swings the bat.
He absolutely does, and I know the White Sox have not been a marquee franchise the last 5-6 years, but my Lord, you watch the White Sox today, they are a very entertaining squad. They've got Yoan Moncada, they've got Luis Robert in center, veteran Jose Abreu at first. They've got real talent on that club. You know, they added Yasmani Grandal behind the plate. They add Dallas Keuchel and Gio Gonzalez to their rotation that already had Lucas Giolito on it. And if you were to take a needle and say a club is pointing upward or downward, the White Sox absolutely are pointing upward. And I think they're going to be they're a fun team to watch. Rob, think of, and I know you know basketball, think of the old Suns back when Nash and Stoudemire and Rajah Bell and, you know, all those guys were playing for the Suns. And they may not have been the champs, but they were a fun watch. That's how I view the White Sox. They're a fun watch.
No doubt about it. All right, last thing, Pedro, your World Series pick. You could give me what you picked. I don't know if you've changed. I doubt it. But what you picked before the season started. Who did you have representing the American League and National League?
Well, I had the Oakland A's winning it all. And I think I'm going to stick with that because they're playing really, really good ball.
I was going to say that. But that's a good call. I mean, they just for whatever reason, they can never get past the Yankees in the postseason, but they've had great years.
Yeah, they've had more struggles getting, you know, the wild card game, obviously, but they look like they're going to be in a position where they're not going to have to play that. Well, there's not a one-game wild card this year, first of all. But they look like they weren't going to be in that position regardless, even if it had been a full season. I just saw a club that won 97 games each of the last 2 years, lost in the wild card round each of the last 2 years. But then when I saw them in spring training early, before spring training got halted, back in February, they just looked to me like a club that was out to say, the Astros cheated, won the division each of the last 2 years with over 100 wins, and who knows how many of those wins were legitimate. We probably are the better team, and we're going to show everyone this year. And that also was part of the reason that I took the A's. Plus, they're very talented. I mean, you've got Olsen at first, you've got Chapman at third, you've got Simeon at short, you've got a great young rotation. They've got a lot of good pieces. They've got a great manager in Bob Melvin. So I'm going to stick with Oakland. And, you know, I made the pick before, and I'm going to stick with them. I had the Dodgers going in the National League, and look, talent-wise, the Dodgers are still loaded. I know they're not playing up to maybe the capability, but Dustin May right now, he may have the best stuff in the entire game. I don't know that there's a pitcher with better, more electric stuff right now. And then if you've got him, you've got Walker Buehler, you still have Clayton Kershaw, who I know is maybe third or fourth in that rotation now. But if that's your three or four, that's pretty damn good.
No doubt about it. His name, Pedro Gomez, national correspondent from ESPN and my friend of a long time. Thanks for joining the podcast, my man. I appreciate you. Stay safe.
Oh, Rob, absolutely. When we were friends, we didn't have gray hair.
No,
when
we did
met,
not.
When we met.
No doubt.
Take care, my brother.
All right, you too.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
So believe it or not, we're already about a quarter of a way through the shortened season, and with the exception of the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals, things have gone pretty smoothly. Now the problem is, every time a game is postponed, it throws a wrinkle into the schedule. And time, of course, is of the essence. Well, that brings us to the fall and playoff time. Major League Baseball cannot risk having a Marlins or Cardinals debacle in October. And the league knows that. That's why league officials are holding ongoing discussions about what to do for the playoffs, and the answer just might be a bubble-type atmosphere. That's according to ESPN's Jeff Passan, who says sources have told him that the league is having ongoing discussions about a postseason bubble-type format. Now, it makes total sense, no doubt about that, but it's not going to be easy. Remember, MLB has expanded the playoffs this season to include 16 teams, so hosting all of those teams in one location probably out the window. The only way it can be done is if you use three or four locations. But where will said locations be? Because not only will we still be dealing with the pandemic come this fall, but we'll also be dealing with weather, specifically in certain northern cities in September and October. So a lot for the league and its officials to sift through over the next few weeks. And I say, do whatever you can to make it happen. We need postseason baseball as long as you can do it safely.
Bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL for a lot of reasons. One, which is you never know how a game's going to end or, you know, what could be the scenario. It's not always the same. You know, it could be a dropped infield pop-up. It could be like an inside the Parker to lose the game. It could be a base running blunder. I mean, there's so many bizarre ways that baseball can end in walk-off fashion. It's not always just the walk-off home run or something like that. You know, you could be walked in, forced a run in with the bases loaded. There's just so many quirky ways of baseball that it leaves you on the edge of your seat. You never know what's coming. How about the game ending on a balk where the pitcher flinches and a man on third? That's baseball. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.